When a man and woman are joined in marriage, they join their families together as well. Any children they produce will belong to both the immediate and extended family. But no one marries into the family of God or is born into the household of faith. Christian parents do not give birth to Christian babies. Your salvation is a matter between you and the Lord. Jesus has many messengers, but the invitation to eternal life comes to you personally from Him. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." By your faith in the blood of Jesus, you were made a member of a fellowship that in size and significance reaches far beyond your individual life. You are one of many. But still, you are never just a face in the crowd. Each one is a member in particular. And no matter how many other people believe, the fruitfulness of your Christian life will always be conditioned by the quality of your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Psalm 31, verse 3. "For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me." Jesus is the Lord our shepherd. His hand is upon every member of his church to lead them and guide them into the fulfilling of his will. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant," verse 21, "make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The Lord Jesus is uniquely involved in your life to bring you along the path he has ordained for you. The shepherd knows his sheep. He knows your strengths, and he knows your weaknesses. He knows your gifts and your calling. He has perfect understanding of all our ways. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 5. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me." Verse 2. "Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." Verse 3. "Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." Verse 4. "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Verse 5. "Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me." The Lord has laid his hand upon our lives, and that is why Jesus is the rock, the foundation, and the chief cornerstone in the laying on of hands, the fourth principle in the doctrine of Christ. Now, no one can see God with their natural eyes, and so many people assume that the Lord is not involved with their daily activities. But God is as present as the invisible air we breathe. He is never not involved. As we walk the path of righteousness, the Lord opens the way before us. And when we stray from that path, he calls us back. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." In all that we do, the hand of the Lord is either with us or against us. As we read in the book of Ezra, chapter 8, in the second part of verse 22, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. God's hand was with the Israelites when they crossed the Red Sea and the Jordan River. Joshua chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. But the hand of the Lord was against Israel when they turned their back on him. Judges chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Verse 15, whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. But when the hand of the Lord was with them, God's people saw great things happen on their behalf. Again, we read from the book of Ezra, now in chapter 7, verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Why did the king give Ezra all that he required? The hand of the Lord was upon both the prophet and the king. God has his hand in the affairs of this world much more than we realize. Proverbs 21, verse 1 tells us, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Ezekiel received all those wonderful revelations because of the hand of God that was upon him. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 3. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. It was the Lord's hand on the apostles that made the early church to flourish. The book of Acts chapter 11, verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. You could say that our greatest need in life is to have the hand of the Lord upon us for good. It is the one thing that guarantees our success in life and in ministry. As we read in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 31, for what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?